through the Alaska Airlines studios.
This is Jake and Stacy on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacy Ross.
This hour of Jake and Stacy is brought to you by the Pro Club. Before we get to Hype Train, as a reminder, we're doing our Open the Gates giveaway on 710 ESPN. All day today at the 30s, we'll give you a chance to call in. You're going to need to wait until the 30 mark because we're going to have some specific instructions for you guys. So don't call yet. Don't try to get in line. You're going to need to wait. Again, that chance coming up at the bottom of the hour for your chance to get two opening day tickets and this is the really fun part, open the gates to welcome fans into T-Mobile Park. A really, really awesome contest. I'm really excited about it. So stay tuned. Open the Gates giveaway continuing later this hour. Now, though, it's time for Hype Train. This is how it works. I'm going to read you guys five trends going on, right? Five things everyone's getting hype about. Mm-hmm. And you guys are going to tell me whether or not you're boarding the Hype Train, whether or not you're buying in, you believe it, you're all on board, or whether or not you're going to let it go on by. So let's go ahead and get started. Richard Sherman, we had Nick Wagner on of ESPN, a 49ers reporter out there in San Francisco, say, yeah, everyone here also pretty confident Richard Sherman's going to move on. Richard Sherman has indicated this is the end of his tenure in Seattle. The latest rumor from Tom Pelissero is that there could be a reunion.
Listen, here's what I can tell you. Richard Sherman is open to returning to Seattle.
Right.
I believe the Seahawks would also be open to having Sherman back. This is not like Earl Thomas where it was really acrimonious at the end. These are two sides that just came tied, right? Sherman wanted to go do something else. He goes to San Francisco, has a really good 2019 season. Last year had some injury issues, but healthy, wants to play. The issue is going to be the money.
One of the biggest names to ever wear a Seahawks uniform in recent history, at least. Here's the Hype Train. Tell me if you're boarding. Richard Sherman will be a Seahawk in 2021. Jake, you're already laughing.
Because I love sometimes when national people cover these storylines. It just was time. Do you not remember how that saga ended?
There was some bad blood.
Certainly was not time. I don't think Richard Sherman felt like it was time.
No, Sherman definitely didn't feel like it, and he was genuinely ticked off at the organization for a number of different things. But also the fact that he felt like he could still play, and the organization moved on after he tore his Achilles and said, hey, we just feel like at this stage, with your injury, age, price point, just time to move on. And that didn't go very well in Richard Sherman's mind. Now, with all of that being said, I do think that there is a way that this can happen. And I would love to see it happen. Richard Sherman comes in here with his veteran leadership. And he comes in and plays the role like he did in San Francisco. Not necessarily the instigator, not the younger Sherman that we saw, but a more veteran-like Sherman who really takes on that leadership role, that mentorship role, and is still able to, you know, make plays and get his hands on the football. And I think that it would be worth it. And at this stage, you're not going to ask Richard Sherman to go out there and be the number one cover guy. Okay, what do I mean by that? Okay, well, if Devontae Adams is on the field, you're not going to ask Richard Sherman to go in the slot and try and match up with him, you know, like you once did at one point in time. And you didn't even do that very often. But he's going to play that spot that he's comfortable at, that left corner spot. He's not going to get beat over the top. He's going to make smart decisions. And he's going to pick and choose his spots when he's going to be aggressive. I'm perfectly fine with that. And I think it would be potentially a pretty good thing if they could get that part of it solved. So I am open to the reunion. However, I think when it's all said and done, I'm not boarding the train. I don't think it happens. I don't think he comes to Seattle, but I do think it's more likely than not.
Jake, not boarding the train. Curtis, are you boarding the Hype Train? Richard Sherman will be a Seahawk in 2021.
Am I boarding this Hype Train? Oh, man.
Oh, it's so inviting.
I really want to see it because, I mean, Richard Sherman is a franchise legend. We saw Marshawn Lynch come back after there was some bad blood when he left. I mean, Marshawn definitely had it out for the Seahawks front office.
Very true.
During the first go-around. So those bridges can be repaired. But Richard Sherman, I don't know. He is so competitive, and he will not give it up. when he wants to prove a point. I mean, he's tried to do that with Jim Harbaugh after leaving Stanford, just every which way possible. But I think I'm getting on.
All right,
I
want to
see
really?
Richard Sherman in Seattle. I think it happened.
Curtis is on the hype train. You know what? I'm not boarding the hype train, but the text line, I would say it's a 60-40 split for yes, Sherm will be back here. I think fans are excited, understandably so, but there are some people that aren't. 425 says, bring Sherman back. Heck yeah.
Okay.
Had to edit that one for radio.
Hold on. Let's pump the brakes on this for a second.
No, Jake. No.
Hold on. I would love to see Sherm back for a lot of different reasons. But if it comes down to the decision of Richard Sherman or Carlos Dunlap, what are you picking?
A credit card.
You could get one of those.
You could get one of those,
by the way. You could if you wanted to. There's restructures that are out there that keep you aggressive. But, yeah, you'd have to dip into that credit card. I think it would come down to that decision, though.
Next hype train, the Seahawks have not brought back Carlos Dunlap. They have, though, added two guys to the defensive line. One, Benson Mayoa, was with you last year. He signs back with Seattle. Another with the 49ers, Kerry Hyder. He'll come in to help bolster your edge rush. And so here is the hype train. Tell me if you're boarding. Kerry Hyder will lead the Seahawks in sacks in 2021.
Kerry Hyder leads in sacks. There's a great chance of that. Okay, I'm going to go out on a limb here.
Jake's boarding.
Yeah, I'm going to board that train.
Okay.
I'm going to board that train. Now, Kerry Hyder is extremely active. I love the way he plays the game. He's very smart. He's very savvy. And if you bring in Carlos Dunlap on top of what you have, and you get guys that are able to contribute, you got Kerry Hyder, you got Benson Mayoa, Daryl Taylor comes back and he is contributing, you got Carlos Dunlap, Jaron Reed, Puna Ford, man, that's a depth that I would love to see, and I think Kerry Hyder Jr. would benefit. But as the number one pass rusher, Stacey, he did it in San Francisco. I doubt he could do it again for a second year in a row. It's just not who he has been throughout his career.
But are you boarding it?
I'm boarding it, but
optimistically,
because I'm optimistic. Okay. That Carlos Dunlap's going to be back here.
Kerry Hyder will lead the Seahawks in sacks in 21, not with 21, in 2021.
Boy, 21, that's approaching Michael Strahan's record.
You are literally, what, one away, one and a half away?
I think he had like 22.5.
Yeah. Jake is on board. Are you boarding the hype train, Curtis?
I'm not, but it's not that I don't want to see it, because obviously that would be a tremendous signing for the Seahawks. But like Jake pointed out, consistency has been Hyder's biggest hang-up in his career. He has had good seasons in the past, but they've been immediately followed by seasons of just, you know, one sack, two sacks, whatever. You know, Seattle's defense, if he is the guy, maybe he's able to replicate his performance that he had last year in San Francisco when he kind of became the default guy because there was no Nick Bosa. Dee Ford was hurt all of last season. I think if that happens, maybe he does lead the Seahawks in sacks, but I'm hoping that he doesn't, because that'll mean somebody else is here that can generate that kind of pressure. I'm
not
letting
boarding.
This train go by.
Okay. I am going to board the train just because a lot of the text line is saying, oh, it's Jamal Adams. I'd love for that for Jamal Adams, but with the weaknesses they'll have at corner, I would love for Jamal Adams to also be a great weapon in the secondary as opposed to part of blitz packages. He is great in that role as well. Again, he's kind of, I guess, reinventing how a strong safety could be played in a defense, and that's fantastic to see, but I would like to see a defensive end lead the team in sacks. I think that would be something I'm down for, so I'm boarding this train. Next train. We've all been talking about Jared Kelnick, but there is another young player, another prospect that may get to make it to the big league team before Kelnick in the outfield. Hear me out. This is the hype train. Tell me if you're boarding. It's not Jared Kelnick making the opening day roster. No, friends. It is Taylor Trammell.
I think this is probably the most logical decision with the way that Taylor Trammell has played in spring training. He's really performed consistently. I think that he has been a very, very nice surprise. However, I've been on the Jared Kelnick hype train, Stacey, and I can't get off. I'm sorry. I just can't get off, and so I'm not going to board this hype train. Rather, I'm going to continue to stay on the Jared Kelnick hype train that he will be on the big league roster come opening day.
Jake's a boxcar child. That's what he is.
That's right.
On the Jared Kelnick hype train.
Curtis, let's you boarding the hype train.
Boy, Taylor Trammell, he's looked pretty good in Cactus League play this season. At 866 OPS, hit that home run early on. And, I mean, he's a really good prospect in his own right. He's a top 100 guy, formerly a top about 20 prospect at one point with the Cincinnati Reds farm system. I think Taylor Trammell is going to be the safer of the two picks if you do bring him up. And I think the Mariners are at a point in their rebuild where they're not quite ready to press the gas pedal. But I want to see Jared Kelnick up on the opening day roster. Do I think it'll happen? I mean, I think I said so yesterday, but am I backing off that?
Absolutely.
I'm not. I'm not backing off of that.
Yeah,
Jared Kelnick is going to be on the opening day roster.
You scared me
not
for a
to
second.
Discredit anything that Taylor Trammell has done in the Cactus League.
Whew.
I just think Kelnick is the way better option here.
I am not boarding it. The second Shannon changes her mind,
ooh,
I'm following Shannon blindly. Because she's incredibly pragmatic with this.
Sources stuff. Say it's close to happening.
All right, all right.
Yeah, but I'm just telling you, every time she's come on and I've asked, she's been like, Jake.
I know. Jake, you idiot.
Jake. Little Jake. Stick to football.
And come now on, it's Jake. Like, oh.
Yeah, maybe.
All right,
like,
all right.
Maybe. If that happens, I'm not saying anything other than the fact that I'm just going to be thrilled to talk to Shannon.
It's like when
Jake
Jackson
would get the
and
meat
Bodie,
sweats.
It's like when Jackson and Bodie probably ask you and Brooke to do something over and over and over again, despite mm-hmm. you saying no. And then you finally relent at some point, and Jackson and Bodie are just like, yes!
Yeah.
That's what it is. You're wearing Shannon down in that way.
Yeah. All right, we got two more trains to get
to. It's a very, very strong analogy.
Next train. The NCAA men's tourney resumes on Saturday with the Sweet 16. There are still a couple West Coast teams in there. You got Oregon State. You have Gonzaga, obviously. Oregon and USC. One of those will be bounced. Those two will face off on Sunday. And then you have UCLA. So here's the hype train. Tell me if you're boarding. There's a West Coast team that's going to win the NCAA men's tourney. I think it's going to be Gonzaga, so I'm going to say yes. I'm on the train.
Well, yeah, we put Gonzaga on the list. They're our number
and
one seed.
We are winning the 7-10
right.
pool.
And we are winning the 7-10 pool. Take that, Wyman and Bob in second place. Just
Danny
barely.
DeLong, way
at the
there
bottom. It's
third.
Us it's just, us, and Wyman and Bob that are
we're
fighting.
Just like this.
Yeah.
Right down. But, you know, I think what is going to be the pivotal game for us? I haven't seen their bracket. Like what?
Gonzaga going to be taking on number 5 Creighton.
Okay, well, obviously we need them to go to the finals.
I think both I of us have Gonzaga winning it all.
Okay,
yeah, but it's all about the points. So, for instance, who did they take further? All of our the rest of our Final Four are gone except for Gonzaga.
Okay.
We had Illinois, Ohio State, and
Texas.
Man, brutal.
Jake, you gonna go ahead and take Oregon State all the way then?
No, I'm not taking Oregon State. It's Gonzaga. There's gonna be right. a team from the West Coast that does win it.
Okay. Curtis, I already know.
Oh, they're
you
the Zags
know?
Are
go,
coming away yes. with a national
yes.
title.
If they don't come away with the national title this year, will that be the biggest disappointment?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
The answer is yes. It's the best
Absolutely.
Team they've had and the weirdest field. I don't know about the weakest field, but the weirdest. Like, it's I think it's just
it's
proceeding
right
was
them.
Difficult this season.
Yeah. It's right there.
It's right there. All right. Last and final train. This one courtesy of Curtis Rogers, who was watching as that cargo ship yesterday got stuck in the Suez Canal. Got literally
got wedged
in between. Now, I read that this
the
ship,
weirdest thing ever.
This ship is over 400 meters. They said it's almost as long as the Empire State Building is tall. It got turned on its side. Imagine if you were doing like a 3-point turn in a street trying to turn around and it got stuck. And there was miles of ships behind it. And it couldn't move. It had to get a whole bunch of tugboats.
Yeah,
and
you
like,
think Seattle gridlock is bad.
Let me talk to you about Suez Canal.
Yeah, Suez Canal, not the place you want to be on a Tuesday
is
afternoon.
The hype train. Tell me if you're boarding, there is nothing more embarrassing than getting your ship stuck in the Suez Canal. Who among us hasn't been there before?
We've all been there. I'm getting on that hype train.
Absolutely.
Imagine the explanation that guy's got to have with his bosses. And then also the people in charge of the Suez Canal. You know how many billions of dollars that is, you know, just caused in lost revenue? Oh, rough day for that guy.
I can't think of anything more embarrassing.
So bad.
Nothing more embarrassing.
It is so bad.
Everyone's watching you. You're national news. CNN had an article about you. They're like, look at this idiot.
But there's nothing more embarrassing.
Trying to do like a 3-point turn.
But the other thing is, how do you not have the equipment to be able to get this fixed? Like, it's still a problem. It's an ongoing problem right now.
They had to widen
the canal.
Widen the canal. They had to actually widen the river.
That's insane.
Yeah.
Absolutely insane. That's that's pretty brutal.
Mortifying. All right. That is today's hype train. Before I jump to four down territory, someone reminding us, rightfully so, that Wyman and Bob actually call our bracket the Stacey and Jake, because it's all the show title brackets, Wyman and Bob bracket. They call us the Stacey and Jake, but mostly Curtis bracket. And,
it's fair.
I did pick Gonzaga. I took Gonzaga, Curtis. Don't forget.
The easiest.
Yeah, I wrote down the names. Uh-huh. So I think it's a 50-50. Yeah.
Well, for sure. But it's a show. It's a show bracket.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't, I don't take that as a dig.
We have Curtis as an asset.
Curtis
is, yeah, you're right.
Yeah,
you're
so
right.
You could use Mike as a.
Yeah,
as
I don't know what Mike that Lefkoe. Says. I don't know what that says about Mike.
Yeah.
Maybe they're taking a dig at Mike.
Wow, that's really mean. Yeah. Mike's brand new.
I know. That's just really, those guys are ruthless.
It's time for Four Down Territory, brought to you by Genuine Auto Glass.
This is Four Down Territory, brought to you by Genuine Auto Glass.
With Jake and Stacy.
You live for moments like this. Time for us to step up and take it.
Question one, Jake, what excites you about the signing of Kerry Hyder Jr.?
What excites me is this is the type of player that you want on your team, from the simple fact of he has a relentless motor. He's a guy that sets a tone when you come in and work. This is not a high former first-round pick. This is not a guy who's made a ton of money through the course of his career. He is an underdog. And guess what? He shouldn't have even had 8.5 sacks last year. Not many people know who Kerry Hyder Jr. is. But that's the part that I really love, is that he's going to walk in here signing a new deal, a deal that I think is respectable for the year that he had last year, but it's still a good team-friendly deal. A guy who's going to go to work. He's going to bring his lunch pail to work every single day, and he is extremely versatile. As I said, as I watched the film on him, this guy is a complete Swiss Army knife, and he has been effective in every single spot that you put him in across the defensive line. 5 technique, which is where he's going to be the starter at. I think he'll hold that down very, very well. He's an effective pass rusher. He's an effective run stuffer as well. Very active in both phases of the game. So there is a lot to like about Kerry Hyder Jr. And you can slide him down at defensive tackle if you need. There is a strong familiarity, and I don't like to compare guys to players of the past, but everybody is familiar with Michael Bennett and the role that he played and the way he played the game. Kerry Hyder Jr. carries a lot of those similar traits that Michael Bennett carried. I would say that he doesn't have the explosive first step that Michael Bennett had coming off the ball, but he is extremely savvy. He knows how to use his hands. He knows how to go transition from speed to power. He's just very familiar with who he is, what he can do, what his strengths are. And man, does he give a whole lot of effort. It shows up on tape every single game you turn it on.
Second down. Stacey, Seahawks just made another move on the O-line about a half hour ago. Yep. What should we make of it?
All right, so just so you guys know this from ESPN's Brady Henderson, the Seahawks have signed guard Jordan Simmons to a 1-year deal. Now, really, he just adds depth. There's not like a huge personnel note you should make. If there is a note you take away, it's that, hey, you know what? The NFL's a tough business. This isn't, you know, a great feeling to have, but props to Schneider and Carroll for declining to tender Simmons and then re-signing him to presumably a cheaper deal. Obviously, we don't know the numbers yet, but that is the latest with the Seahawks roster.
Third down. Jake, the Colts are reportedly re-signing T.Y. Hilton to a 1-year deal worth up to $10 million, $8 of that guaranteed. Would you have done that deal if you're the Seahawks?
Simply put, no. That was a lot more money than I was expecting T.Y. Hilton to get on the open market. And at this stage of his career, I don't think that would have been a wise investment on the Seahawks. At this stage, I think you're hoping if you're looking at a good veteran player to come in somewhere around $2 to $5 million. But the most likely thing that they're going to do is bring in a veteran or two at a veteran minimum price, very similarly to what they did with Philip Dorsett of last year, what they did with P. Rich of last year in training camp. If you guys remember that, for a short period of time, they brought back Paul Richardson and gave him an opportunity to compete. I don't think that you're going to see a big splash signing out there. The only person that's out there that I think would potentially still be in a relatively easier price point that could bring impact level type of play is Antonio Brown. But there's a whole nother conversation that goes along with that player. So I've become more of the belief as time goes on that you're either trying to sign the next Philip Dorsett or somebody like that, like a D.D. Westbrook type of player, or you might be looking at the draft and looking at an opportunity to try and take someone and add to the competition with Freddie Swain, John Ursua, Penny Hart, with someone from this really, really deep receiver draft class, maybe in the third round, if they were to trade down their second round pick. So something to keep an eye on.
Fourth down. Are the Seahawks done addressing the defensive line this offseason?
I do not believe they are done. I do not believe that Benson Mayoa and Kerry Hyder Jr. were the final moves to this Seahawks roster. I believe that these two additions were made because they were able to get these players done, their deals done right away, and that these are good quality deals, very easy to the Seahawks price point. And Carlos Dunlap might not be ready to accept the loss of the war here, right? In terms of, hey, I know what the market's telling me right now, but maybe it'll change. And some guys have a hard time accepting that, and they feel like maybe something will happen where their market will be, you know, favorable to them, maybe after the draft. So this is a move where they're hedging their bets, in my opinion, where they're able to move forward. If they were stuck with this group, that they could feel confident that they'll be successful. But I have to imagine that they are going to still be very much in the hunt for Carlos Dunlap, and I believe it would be extremely wise for them to bring Carlos Dunlap back, because this would make their defensive line go from good players and a bunch of rotational pass rushers to a player that is a headliner and makes everyone else better around them. He will make Benson Mayoa, Kerry Hyder Jr., Daryl Taylor, he'll make everybody else on that defensive line better, Stacey, and he proved that last year.
And that was four down territory. An NHL ref was caught on a hot mic saying something we've all wondered about. Scott Service takes a shot at Trevor Bauer. Plus, we've got another chance to enter the Open the Gates contest. Don't go anywhere. It's all coming up next.
This is The Timeline
with Jake and Stacey.
Brought to you by 1-800-DUIOA.
It is The Timeline, but before we get to our stories, guys, it's 30 past the hour, which means it's time for us to open up the gates on our phone lines and qualify another listener. Call 206-421-3776 or 866-979-3776 in 1 minute if you're listening on a radio, or in 30 seconds if you're listening on the stream. We'll take caller number, Jake.
Seven.
Caller number seven, who will be entered to win the grand prize of 2 tickets to opening day. And this I love, the right to open the gates to welcome fans back to T-Mobile Park. Your next chance to win comes in 1 hour at 1:30. Again, that is caller number 7-206-421-3776 or 866-979-3776. All right. Well, moving on, the NHL. Actually, Curtis, are you going to be able to
I just realized.
Okay. The NHL's fired referee Tim Peel after he was caught on a hot mic saying that he wanted to call a makeup penalty against the Nashville Predators in their game against the Detroit Red Wings, Cup 4.
There wasn't much, but I wanted to get a penalty against Nashville early.
Well.
What?
Uh-huh. Now, I have always wondered.
I knew that they did that.
I know all of you have always wondered. We all know that refs can make mistakes, human error. And there are cases, of course, in the NBA where we've seen this, of like a ref just blatantly ripping up. This is more of that kind of like make good call that we've all assumed refs have tried to do to keep it even, but you can't actually say you're doing that because everything should be technically fair. There have been many a call that have gone for and against a team that you've been watching where you've thought, you know what? I'll take that one, but I don't think it was fair. I think they were making up for a missed.
It happens in the NHL.
The passer or whatever.
It happens in the NHL a lot.
Yeah.
It happens. This is notorious in the NBA. Like, you miss a traveling call, you miss a foul, I can guarantee you that on the other end, there's going to be a makeup call. And it's science. It's just going to happen. And you know it, but to hear a referee actually go through that thought process and go, okay, I need to make up for that mm-hmm. one, it just brings up a lot of bad memories. Of, you know, I a referee called a bad call on you for no reason other than they were just trying to make up a bad call from before. Man, that's crazy. And to get it on a hot mic,
yikes.
That ain't good.
It's not even the cursing. It's more shocking. The cursing isn't great, but it's hearing someone say, hey, I'm going to give them this. Just so it kind of feel bad. I got to make up for this other bad call. It's like, whoof. Yikes.
Well, it doesn't surprise me he got fired for that.
Yeah, I mean, you have to be as unbiased as you humanly possibly can. And that means that if you make a bad call, don't try to like write the game by then making another bad call.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, wipe your hands of it, move on, try to just stick to the letter of the law. And it's tough because so many penalties and fouls are subjective, kind of, in a weird way.
Well, it is, but it's also emotional, right? And referees are human beings. They're not robots. So you get caught up in the moment of that kind of stuff. And, you know, the fan base, a player, a coach that feels like you're giving them the wrong end of the stick, like, you might give that makeup call just to get them off your back a little bit. Like, it does happen from time to time. So it's pretty crazy.
Now, we had been talking for a while about whether or not Jerry DePoto should be extended with the Seattle Mariners. Scott Servais also up for a contract extension. And we hadn't gotten a chance to kind of jump into the merits of why he should. I think this is enough. This in itself. So we'll start with what Trevor Bauer said. The Mariners beat the Dodgers and Bauer. And Bauer tried to make a little bit of an excuse. Cut to.
I got exactly what I wanted out of tonight. I was really good. First couple innings was sharp. Landed curveballs for strikes. Slider was good. Felt like I commanded the ball pretty well. So I got what I wanted out of it. The fifth inning, I was just, like I said, I was throwing pitches. It really wasn't any thought of like sequencing or whatever. I was just going to have to throw pitches. So that's never a good mind frame to be in when you're trying to like get guys out. But just finishing off the night, getting the pitch count.
So if you couldn't hear exactly what Trevor Bauer was saying, I'll summarize it. He was basically saying, look, I know some guys got homers off of me, but I was just trying to get up that pitch count, just trying to, you know what, loosen up. It's spring. Who really cares? Rather than saying, no, I was trying, and they just, like, they picked me apart. It was, no, oh, yeah, I was just kind of throwing the ball around. Mm-hmm. Scott Servais, cut three. He took a shot back.
Like, certainly Bauer was on top of his game early, and I just want everybody to know that our guys weren't trying the first four innings. We decided to try in the fifth inning. Last night and it worked out. Our guys started trying. So I know he had said maybe he wasn't in the fifth, but our guys were trying in the fifth. We just didn't take it seriously the first three, four innings.
Did they have both eyes open?
No, our guys were hitting with one eye shut, the first four innings and trying to breathe through our eyelids, as we're focusing on different things that'll help us throughout the year.
That obviously another shot at Bauer saying he likes to pitch with one
yes!
eye closed.
Love Scott, so,
Scott
for that.
Servais for the win.
Extend Scott Servais now. Extend
yes.
Scott now.
If you were ever on the fence about that, this should change your mind. Big dad energy coming through your speakers right there. I love it. I love seeing Scott Servais mix it up here with somebody like Trevor Bauer. And I got to imagine from Scott Servais and just anybody hearing that, you just roll your eyes so heavily. But then to go out and voice that opinion, I love it. And I think that the players in his own locker room will love hearing Scott Servais say that and stand up for his players. You just earned yourselves, Scott Servais just earned himself some street cred in the locker room right there.
There is, before I jump to our caller, there's a texter that always texts in, what's up 360, I see you. They're a Dodgers fan, and they text in all the time about like, oh, let's go, my Dodgers. I'm just going to start calling them Dodgers fans. Dodgers fan, you got to sign off with Dodgers fan now when you comment in for other things so that we know who you are. Just the one
Dodgers.
They want
us to stop trashing
it's,
on them.
Exactly. It's our go-to Dodgers fan
Trevor
for
Bauer
the show.
Brought it on himself.
Yeah,
you know what,
exactly.
Dodgers fan?
It's not really at the Dodgers.
It's not
it's
your
more
fault.
Of Trevor Bauer.
It's well, I don't know. I'm like all in on the Padres now. Oh, right. Okay. Moving on. We have our caller on the line. It is Brett in Lake Stevens. Brett, first of all, congratulations on being able to enter here for the contest for this hour. And would you tell us why you deserve those tickets and a chance to open the gates?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I feel like only 9,000 fans in the stadium. They need some rowdy fans, and I am fully prepared to be make up space for at least 4 fans that won't be there.
That's what I'm talking about,
Let's
Brett.
Go,
you're
going to
bring
Brett.
The energy,
yeah,
bring
baby.
The juice.
Woo!
Appreciate it, appreciate it. That is Brett in Lake Stevens. Thanks for calling, Brett. Thanks for entering, and good luck, man. All right.
We need more callers like that. We
lots
need
of
more
energy lots of
like
juice.
That. Like, come on, this is opening day. You haven't been to live sports in over a year. We've all been through
a
lot.
We don't want Brett to like win and then scare people away from the gates. You got to wait until they're in and then you shut the gates and then you get rowdy and then you scream and you're like, let's go. No, that sounds like a fire hazard.
The gates
I actually
open.
Take it back.
You should definitely keep the gate shutter.
You're right.
Correct.
Sorry. You're opening the gates. I keep forgetting that. Stacey, come on. Speaking of the Mariners, we're going to jump back into that conversation we were very briefly having at the top of the hour about whether it can be Jared Kelnick or Trammell, who's going to make the opening day roster. That's next.
You're listening to Jake and Stacey.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacey Ross.
Mariners opening day right around the corner, week from tomorrow, April 1st on Thursday, taking on the Giants. As a reminder, you already know it, but I'll tell you again, we're doing our Open the Gates contest, your next chance, coming up at 1:30. One conversation we were all expecting to have leading into not just Mariners opening day, but to the finalization of the Mariners roster was whether or not Jared Kelnick, their top prospect, that's at least on track to debut, Julio Rodriguez, obviously right up there with him, but not expected to debut this year, whether or not Kelnick would break camp with the team. Another name who, Curtis, as you rightfully pointed out, also a great prospect. Not one we were necessarily talking about, but he's impressed plenty in spring training. It's Taylor Trammell. Now, we've been talking about Kelnick potentially breaking camp with the team. If Trammell breaks camp with the team, it could be because of their position at the expense of Kelnick doing it, with Kelnick being sent down to get an extra month or so in the minors. Going to be a delayed season, so you probably wouldn't see him for a while. But it brought up an interesting debate about, well, maybe Trammell should be up here first, Jake.
Well, it does if you don't think that Kelnick is fully developed, right? If you're in that transition period of like, gosh, I don't feel comfortable. You're Jerry DePoto, and you're like, I have pretty much every box checked off for Jared Kelnick, except for the amount of at-bats that he has gotten before he's come to the big league level. And I want to check that box off before I do it. Like, it's a must-need for me in order to feel 100% confident that I did everything in my power to make sure that his development was not rushed or it wasn't ruined by my selfish desire to bring him up right away. Mm. Right? That's every GM's fear, is you have this high level prospect and they don't pan out, not because of their own talent, but because they were rushed, right? And I think that's the big fear. So on one end, I completely understand. And guess what? The numbers actually favor Jerry DePoto in that argument. However, Jared Kelnick is a little bit different than everybody else in terms of his mindset, his makeup, the way he functions, his talent level. I mean, all of it, I think, is very unique to Jared Kelnick. And as I've said from the beginning, is that I don't think sending him down just to check the box off is appropriate. I think that if he is ready and he is showing that, I believe that he has the ability. You've been hyping this guy up, and hyping up his personality and his mental makeup and everything that is Jared Kelnick. And then you tell us, oh, but he's like the rest of them, that he needs these next 30 days or these next 60 days to get fully cooked. Like, there's something about that just doesn't fully add up to me. But one of the things that I've also heard, and this is really important, this is why this is an important conversation, is because why can't you bring both of them up? That's a question I get asked a lot. Curtis, why can you bring both of them up?
I mean, you could, but you'd be harming the development of at least one of them because you look at the Mariners' outfield situation right now. You got Kyle Lewis penciled in center. You're not moving him anywhere. Mitch Haniger is back. He's healthy. And by all accounts, he looks like the Mitch Haniger of old. He's going to be your right fielder. And when he's playing in right field, when he's playing in right field, he's a gold glove caliber right fielder. Left field is your only open spot right now. You cannot split at-bats between Taylor Schmell and Jared Kelnick because you're going to be ruining the development of at least one of them. You're going to be ruining the guy who isn't getting every single day at-bats. You can get both of them every day at-bats if you put one in the major league level and one at the alternate training site or at Triple-A Tacoma whenever their season does start. But if you put Kelnick and Trammell on the major league roster at the same time with only one open spot in that outfield, you're going to be stunting the growth of at least one of them, maybe even both.
I do want to mention very quickly, and I want to continue this conversation, about the alternate training sites. One of the biggest critiques that we had heard kind of from Kelnick, but certainly from others, was that the alternate training sites were kind of like glorified spring training. You didn't have a chance to have a traditional minor league season. Shannon Dreyer, though, our Mariners insider and cut number eight, says she does see development there.
His argument to I should be called up or I should have been called up because I was not developing at the alternate site, and he listed all the reasons why he couldn't. You know, their coaches in the outfield and they're not real games. Well, I think there's no question he did develop in the alternate site. We saw a very different Jared Kelnick in spring training this year than we saw at the alternate site, than we saw at summer camp, than we saw at spring training last year. He's clearly taken steps forward. And a lot of that, sure, is work that he does in the off season, but I don't think you can say that he didn't develop.
So you're not necessarily taking away from his development by having him get some at-bats there. And
we're talking semantics here.
I don't know. I mean, he doesn't have a ton of appearances. Like, he really does have limited experience.
I know, but you're telling me
we're talking about
Kelnick, truly developed. Like, I understand what Shannon's saying there, but he truly developed with that opportunity. And the answer, in my opinion, would be no. Jerry DePoto's telling you himself, if you bring him down to the minor league level, he's telling you that he did not develop the way that we would have thought he would have developed had they played actual games. So are you getting some development? Is it better than nothing? Yeah, it is better than nothing, but it's not the same type of development. So I think that you've really got to be clear on this if you're Jerry DePoto and Scott Service. And I like Taylor Trammell, so in reality, I'm actually going to be okay with whatever decision they make.
Mm-hmm.
They put Jared Kelnick down for a couple months and then they bring him back. Like, I'm not going to be upset about it because Taylor Trammell is playing really well. And that's the unique surprise of this, is that you're actually in a really good position. Think about this. If you're Jerry DePoto and Scott Service, you've got to be over the moon about how this has developed. Because before, you were thinking that maybe you'd be taking a step back for Jared Kelnick's development and those purposes at left field. But right now, you're seeing two of your top prospects in your farm system really, truly compete at a high level for that left field position. I mean, that is a dream for both of those guys. So this is a very exciting situation for the Mariners, but you got to be very, very careful with how you go about this because, as you pointed out, Curtis, you can't bring both of them up and stunt both of their development. Or just one of them. You don't want to be in that position. You want to see both of them continue to grow, and which guy is going to give you that best chance to be competitive from day one on your big league roster, and who needs the most development or who needs the opportunity to sit back and take some time before you bring them up to the big league level, because right now you're kind of in this awkward stopgap position where you got Haniger out at right field, right, and there's a lot of things to move around. So you're not quite ready to bring both of those guys up and give them as much time as they need.
If there is one devil's argument to make, I want to hear what you think, Curtis. Could you say that bringing both up potentially, at least having both there sooner than you were expecting, say you have both of them up there in May, would you want then to let Haniger, who hasn't played for a while, get some more rest than he would in another season? For instance, normally you'd be like, Haniger's holding down right field. But is there a chance that he just isn't out there as much, so you actually do get more time in right field for one of those guys?
Well, I think it's very possible. I mean, Haniger, even when he hasn't been dealing with these issues, has spent a lot of time on the injured list because of various ailments and whatnot. Even, you know, his first year in Seattle, I think he only played half the year with the Mariners because he was hurt so often. And his injuries have mostly been, you know, freak accidents like it was back in 2019, fouling that ball, you know, off a place where you don't ever want to take one.
Oh,
and then
man.
Just the rehab from that and then throwing his back out last year. It's been a long road back.
Yeah.
But can you count on Mitch Haniger being in your lineup every single day? Probably not at this point. And if there is an injury to him at some point, that does open the door for the other one of Kelnick and Trammell, who may not get that call on April 1st.
All right. Jake is going to help us understand a bit more about the newest Seahawk, Kerry Hyder, in our preview next. Plus, then we're going to jump into some NFL headlines. One of the wide receivers Jake profiled now off the board. We'll tell you everything you need to know next.